The title of the piece at the bottom of Kuf Yud Dalet is Bein Yisrael La'amin. Between us and them, between the Jewish people and the rest of the world. We say in Avdala every Motzei Shabbos that as Jews we're committed to being Mavdul, Bein Kodesh L'chol, Bein Or L'choshech, Bein Yisrael La'amin. Rabbi Yochum Levavitz, the great Mashkiach of Mir, said, the same way that it is so abundantly clear to us the difference and distinction between Or and Choshech, it has to be equally clear to us the Havdalah Bein Yisrael La'amim. Right? Sometimes it gets confusing because I'm a human being and my next door neighbor is also a human being and I respect him as a human being. But a Jew has to believe in his ability to be so transcendent, to be so elevated. Not again, not in a way of putting the Umos Olam down. They can be great also. Let them be great. Halavai, they should be great. But we have to hold ourselves to such a standard that's so much greater that it's ki'ilu, not ki'ilu, that it is. Ahavdala bin Or L'choshech, bin Kodesh and Chol. All right, let's see what Rabbi Nachman said. In Likutei Moran, Simen Chav Zayin, Rabbeinu taught, Amar. Al kein kishiyesh chas v'shalom eiza gzeira v'tzara li'Yisrael me'eiza akum. When a nation makes a decree against the Jewish people, and they're trying to harm us, Azai tov lenagin hanigin shel osa ha'akum shemeitzer lahem chas v'shalom. You should take the song of those people who are trying to harm you. What does that mean? So I think we mentioned on Sunday that on Simchas Torah in 1973, the Lubavitcher Rebbe took the French national anthem and he converted it into Haderes Ve'amuna. He turned it into a song of singing the praise and recognition of Hashem, even though that French national anthem was a celebration of freedom from religion and restrictions, etc. Right? But Lubavitcher Rebbe took it and Dafka turned it into a song, a shira of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Nachman says, when a people is trying to harm you, take their song and take it from them. Sing that song. Sing their song. What do you mean? Why would I want to sing their song? Like pretending to be a supporter of those people who are trying to harm me? Very strange. And he says, that's the pshat of the pasuk in Tehillim Kufvav. Vayar batzar lahem. Hashem perceived our tzar, our difficulties. Bisham'o esrina sam. When he what? When Hashem heard our outcry or our song. The way Rabbi Nachman is learning is Rina Sam Daika. It's their song. Right? It pains Hashem to think that you're singing their song. So when you're in trouble, if you start singing their song, Hashem says, oy, 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 does this person think that he's part of them now? Has this Jew lost his identity that he's singing this non-Jew's song? Hainu Rina V'nigun Shalahem. Top of the next page. Shal Osa Ha'akum Shemetzira Li'Yisrael Chas V'Shalom. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu pays attention. Again, the pasuk says, "Vayar b'tzar lahem." Hashem pays attention to our pain. Bishamo esrina sam. When Hashem hears their outcry meaning their song. When I sing the song of the nation that's oppressing me, Hashem will come to our salvation. Okay, it's a deep idea on many levels. It's a deep idea on what is the koach of nigun, which we'll get into a little bit now, and it's a deep idea in terms of. You know, are we? Again, is it like I presented it that we're pretending to have been swallowed up by the nations that we now sing their songs? So now, Hashem is worried that we've lost our identity, so he comes to our rescue. Are we taking their song and being mahapichit against them? What exactly is this process of singing their song? So says our Rebbe Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. Inyun hanigun, the concept of song. One of the very first pieces in Likutei Moran discusses the power of song and the impact of the neshama of the singer upon the song. Sometimes a song, you know, you could say, well, the words of the song are neutral, they're not particularly negative, but when a song is sung, it's coming from a very deep place. Inyan hanigan mavur bakama makomos shumora al pnimius. Music or song is an expression of pnimius. It's a tune that can be presented even without words. It's a song, and when a person sings, they sing from within themselves. We get into the song, It's not just coming from the lips. Actually, it's interesting. I know someone who once did some voice training, and they actually teach you really to sing from your stomach, to sing from your kishkas. Professional singers don't sing from their throat or from their lips or from their mouth. They sing from the stomach muscles. It's a very strange process, but if you try, you could feel it for a second. If you try to like be ma'orer a breath from the depths of your being, that's really the proper way to sing if you want to have the full range of vocal strength. So that makes a lot of sense. Apipnimius, because a nigun itself is an expression of the depths of a person. Rabbi Nachman, in his cryptic way, says that through song, through nagina, Adam nikar kibel alav ol Torah. We can get a sense of a person's Kabbalah's ol Torah. How much is a person dedicated to Torah is reflected in how they sing, when they sing, what they sing, why they sing. B'simin nundal, Rabbi Nachman writes elsewhere, Kasav Rabbeinu, She'ikur birur ruach tova meruach necha hu al yedei nigunim. That a birur, some type of clarification, borer, separation, to separate, so to speak, a spirit of goodness from a spirit of brokenness or lowliness, comes about through nigunim. That's why a nigun can be so transformative to a person's attitude, or their feeling, or their emotions. Sometimes a person's sad, or you sing a nigun, it could totally change how you're feeling. Right? Or the opposite, a person can be in a good mood, and you hear a sad song, and a mamish weighs on a person. So a nigun has an ability to be mavara. Nigun has the ability to clarify and to define things. Shal yedeze megalin pnimius hatova haratzon v'shtokikus la'Hashem yisbach. When a person sings, sometimes you close your eyes and you're singing a song, like Rabbi Aaron was describing yesterday, people sitting in a dark room, combining their voices, unifying their voices as one. It's an expression of a deep ratzon, a longing. A song is often an expression of where I want to be. I sing words of psukim or mamar chazal or just ideas that express who I would like to become. Right? That's the power of song. Umuvan shekol echad ve'echad megala pnimius mahuso mitoch hanigun. So in synopsis, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, every individual displays his pnimius through his kalach of nigun. You don't have to be a songwriter, you don't have to have a great voice, but your attitude and relationship with song is an expression of the essence of a person. V'zem erumas gam kein b'masha kosev Rabbeinu b'simen reish chafalef. Again, another quote from Rabbi Nachman. Shabal Shem Tov zechus yegen olenu. Shama diburim mikol hakinor. That the Baal Shem Tov, upon hearing the sound of a kinor, of a harp, he was able to hear diburim. He didn't just hear notes, he didn't just hear sounds. He was able to hear conversations expressed through musical notes. Umevi a pasuk, and in that context, he brings the pasuk in Kohelis Yud Beis, it's pasuk Dalid, Vayishachu kol benos hashir. Literally, it means the daughters of song were dimmed, were lowered. But he understands Vayishachu as Vayisachu, sicha, the lashon of sicha. There's a sicha of the benos shir, that within a song is a sicha, is a conversation. The ups and downs, the high notes and the low notes, the major chords and the minor chords. It's a roller coaster of emotion, and a person who's able to listen deeply is actually able to hear ki'ilu, something is being spoken, even though it's just music, it sounds. Hainu hasichos sheshomim me'ashirim. Like the Gemara describes about some of the Tanayim and the Masechta Sukkah, their awesome ability to interpret the sound of the rustling of the leaves. They could hear conversations. To be able to interpret the chirping of birds or the braying of animals, you know. There's an ability to listen more deeply, and song very much contains that kalach. Okay, let's hear a couple of comments. Yeah.
So about that last comment, what exactly was that? You were able to hear conversations?
Yeah, the Baal Shem Tov apparently heard, when he would hear the sound of the kinor, he was able to hear diburim. He could hear, Rabbi Nachman says, he heard words being conveyed. Right? Could be. Yeah, could be. But again, it's like that first piece in Sichos Aran. Right? It's being able to feel something or try to express something that can't be expressed in words. So sometimes a different medium can serve to say what couldn't be said in words. A picture could say something that words couldn't say. A song can express an emotion, right, in a way that sometimes is undefinable by words. Yeah. I'm sorry, I wanted to say something more?
Yes, sorry. Who said about Ani Omer Shekhar Negan Gulatzmo Kekhar?
I think it was the Majid Serebi. Could be someone said it before, but Majid was tremendous in the Koach of Negan. I think the Majid Serebi said that it's one and the same. It's anonymous, yeah. I think so.
I don't know if Shafir's going to bring it up, but I think I've seen the Majid had a keynote out the window and it would be his alarm clock.
Right. Right, right. Gemara in Brachos, the beginning of Brachos. Yeah, I don't think he quotes it in this piece, but for sure, the ability to again, not just to have it as something to make noise, right, but so to speak, to convey a ruach. There's a ruach, he's saying. That's what Nigun has a koach to be mevarer, a ruach tova, to bring out a ruach tova. That's what it is. Think about it. Many, you know, a wind instrument, you take a ruach and you're able to transform it into sounds and into emotions. It's an amazing thing, the power of music. Yeah.
So, if song is so essential to, like, your neshama and all this, what about, like, how do you reconcile people who there's no better way to say it, but just, like, aren't that into, like, Kumsitz and
not so into, okay, like, I don't know.
How does that fit into?
Right. I guess a person can work on it, to develop. Some people are more naturally musical and drawn towards music. Right, but it's an important part of a sensitive spirit is connected to song. Again, that doesn't mean you have to be someone who's a singer-songwriter who plays an instrument, who listens to music all day. But to be able to have an emotional experience through music is an important part of being a Jew. And if a person is not emotionally, you know, connected in that way, so that's something to work on.
How would you work on that?
I don't know. How would you work on that? I don't know. How does one soften one's heart to? Yeah, there's a lot of things. Again, it's like any other emotional blockage. If a person doesn't know how to communicate with one's spouse or one's parents, it's also, I don't know. So you have to open those channels up. Mikvah, maybe. So says Rabbi Nachman, an amazing idea. So when a person is oppressed by a certain group, when a particular, again, member or group of the Umas Olam are being oppressive of the Jewish people, so we sing their nigun. What does that mean? V'toch chedei hanigun mizgala pnimius livam shel Yisrael la'Hashem yizbarach v'torasa. Again, a nigun is an expression of my pnimius. So why am I filtering my pnimius through this oppressive people's song? How does that work? Let's see. Al yedeza nasa kitrug al osa uma shegam him and againis osa nigun mamish. What you're expressing is, again, if a song comes from the deepest part of a Jew, if a song really comes from the inner essence of the soul, so when I take their song and sing it in a way of pnimius, when I take their nigun, which is an expression of, let's assume it's tzaddikim. There were tzaddikim who took certain songs from armies, right, or a march that was used as a particular nation was displaying its military prowess and military strength. So if a tzaddik takes that nigun, which is sung by this army as an expression of as an expression of our power and our strength, and you sing it in a way that expresses subservience to Hashem, so it draws kiviyachol before Hashem this awesome chilek between what? Yisrael, the Amim. The same tune that they sing as a way of what? Of thinking they run the world, we sing it as a reminder that Hashem runs the world. So that's the idea. It creates a kitrug, it creates a taina against the nations of the world who sing that exact same song, but when we sing it b'derech pnimius, oz misgala ma rav v'otzum hahevdel b'in Yisrael la'amim. And that's the key point of this of this maimer. That's where the title comes from, Bein Yisrael La'amim. When we sing it in a way of pnimius, so we're highlighting the difference, right, between their very superficial connection to this tune and our deep inner connection to the tune. And that itself brings about the hashpa, the shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yeshua that Hashem will bring upon Klal Yisrael. When he sees, when Hashem kiviyachol is reminded how different we are from them, that itself brings the salvation. Shekeshebnei Yisrael menagdim oso nigun. When we sing that same song, Liba mali oz ishtokus la Hashem, v'she'ifa amuka. When we sing that song with great longing and with great and deep anticipation, liyazdachek mehataivos. When I sing that nigun as a way of wanting to conquer my desire, right? Not as a goyish love song, which is all about, you know, trying to surrender to one's taivas. But if I sing it in a way of a longing for closeness to Hashem, which is being in control of my taivas, and I use it as a ladder to ascend to higher realms, and when that non-Jewish person sings that exact same song, so what for them is an expression of, again, of longing for physical desire or physical closeness, etc., 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 or an expression of physical strength as that army's marching band goes out displaying its might. When we take that song and use it as a way of saying, Hashem, I'm nothing without you, or Hashem, the only love and closeness I desire is closeness to you, so that's an unbelievable reminder, kiviyachol, to Hashem, of the chiluk bein Yisrael la'amin. Yeah.
So I don't really understand when you're
translating kitrug. Accusation. Kategor, right. Ein kategor nasa sanegor. Yeah. And it becomes a kitrug. It becomes an accusation against them. How could it be? And they'll say, what do you mean? This is just a song. Well, it's not just a song. Look how the Jews sing it. It's clearly not just a song. Yes, Chaim. Come join us. You can move up a little. I know you got your zone over there. It's okay. Whatever you'd like.
A lot of times, since like it is like such like a pneumonious thing, Nigunim, a lot of people don't sing like Nigunim saying Hashem's name. Is that a thing that you should say Hashem's name?
Like in Shabbos Miros? Yeah, it's a discussion. One can certainly say Hashem's name. Again, especially if one is really going to sing the niggun, so to speak, from beginning to end. It is a discussion in halacha. But I think, if a person intends to say every word and to sing the whole niggun from beginning to end, there's no real reason, per se, to hesitate to say Shem Hashem in the context of that niggun. Right? Sometimes, you know, if the kids are going to interrupt, like in the middle, and you know, want to go play a game or read a book in the middle, so sometimes if you're not sure, like if you're going to be able to concentrate and actually sit, but if you're in a situation where you can really sit and sing the niggun properly from beginning to end, and you want to use it as a way of being close to Hashem, then one is certainly allowed. If you're uncomfortable with it, there's some who don't, but certainly yesh al milisvach. It's definitely not like a mistake, you know, to say Hashem's name in the context of singing a Zmiros on Shabbos. Yeah.
Some of the tunes have you like repeat certain things.
Right. Even that, Yesh Amilisvach. But again, I don't usually repeat Shem Hashem like that. I wouldn't repeat Shem Hashem in that context. But again, one could make a case for that also. Even. Yeah. Yeah, the accusation, it's their category against us, it's their kitrug against us. What do you mean? Ein kategor nasa sanegor? No, we don't use something which is something of our own fault and then try to spin it. But here we're taking something that the world is, again, he's using niggun as an example. But the yisod that Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is developing here applies to anything and everything. Right? Whatever the world is using in a superficial and very mundane and regular or lowly way, take it and use it in a way of pnimius. He's using song as an example because song is something which could be, again, a very superficial pleasure, or it could be something that's very, very deep. Song could be just a way to, you know, to pass the time and to distract one's mind, or it's a way of real, you know, a point of real entry into The Majid's Rebbe we mentioned before, I think he passed away in 1910 or 1920. Maybe 1920. Divrei Yisrael, the first Majid's Rebbe. 10 years before he passed away, I think he passed away in 1920. I think in 1910, he went to Vienna for a surgical procedure. He was very old at the time. And they were worried that if they put him out, they were worried that it's very dangerous for a person of his age. So he said, don't worry, I'll just start singing a nigun, and I'll enter into a state of dveikus through the nigun, and then you can perform surgery on me. Like, I don't need anesthesia. I'll be okay. Lubavitcher Rebbe brings this story. That the Majid's Rebbe literally sung a nigun of dveikus, entered a state where he was just totally transcendent from his body, and they were able to perform a medical procedure on him without anesthesia. That's the koach of nigun. That's the depth of nigun. And again, Majid's Befrat was a chassidus that emphasized nigun, and many of the nigunim that are very, very famous to us from Yom Noram, Kabbalah Shabbos, you know the Majid's nigunim, even if you don't realize that they are Majid's nigunim. Okay, let's read the bottom paragraph on the page. Zuchorani shebe'etzem yemei ha-melchama ha-nora shel tzor kol Yehudim Hitler yamach shemo. I remember that in the heights of the horrible attacks and the battle against Hitler yamach shemo, Heisebu anshe shlomenu biyom tov shal simchas Torah bebeiso shorav Shlomo Vaxler zatzal. I remember a group of individuals who were gathered once simchas Torah in the home of Shlomo Vaxler, one of our chevra, I guess a Breslover chassid. Reb Shlomo sach oz odos ma'amaro zeh Rabbeinu. And Reb Shlomo at that time, Reb Shlomo Vaxler, mentioned this concept of Rabbi Nachman, that we can use a song of our enemies against them. Let's use the niggin of the one who's trying to oppress us and harm us. And Rav Shlomo Vaxler began to sing one of the stanzas or one of the sections of a song that was shaykh to the German authorities, the German kingdom. Hanikra Hamanon Hamadina. Right? He started to sing a section of the German national anthem. Ki hu zatzal hayil yelid Germania. Because Rav Shlomo was born in Germany. So I guess as a young boy, he had learned the tunes. V'kulam sharo achra v'yachtav. And everyone gathered around that table, that Simchas Torah. They began to sing along a section of the German national anthem. And he says, you can't even imagine how heartfelt and how deep and with what a sense of longing and brokenheartedness they were able to turn that nigun of our enemy into a nigun of unbelievable kedusha and longing and she'ifa and hishoikikus. V'libam zok oz el Hashem. And it was a cry from the depths of the heart to Hashem. Shiyira ososav umovsav lachnias atzorim loshim mitzaroseim. Hashem, please display before us your awesome strength, your wonders. Bring the world power to its knees. Prove to the world that you're still in charge. It looks like nothing could overturn Hitler. He was just expanding and expanding and conquering and conquering. Right? But Hashem, please, we know that you have the ability to do osos, umovsim, the same way you did in Mitzrayim, you could do it here. Lachnia, to subdue, to subjugate, to force them, to humble them. Lu'umas harishos v'achzarios hanora. Shalivsa es hagarmanim imach shamam. Turn the page. Ve'esh shetzarchu es hanigun hazeh atzma. The same nigun that they used while torturing their enemies and fighting their enemies and conquering the world with their rishus. Hashem, we want to give that nigun back to you. We want you to conquer and to subdue the evil German army. And Rav Yaakov Eir Shechter said that scene made an unbelievable roshon upon me. Right? To really see the extent to which a person can use this eitz of Rabbeinu to take the song of oppression and turn it into a song of redemption. And this hamtaka gedola liyisrael, this sweetening, so to speak, this great salvation, is hinting, is reminding Hashem again of the Havdalah bein Yisrael la'amim. Okay? Now, this is, again, one example of how we do this. But I'll show you another very, very powerful example of how we do this. And it's really on the day when we need to do this most, and that is Rosh Hashanah. Okay? I actually gave a drasha this past Rosh Hashanah, which is very similar to the last section of this piece. So maybe I'll try to add a little bit more to that picture. But Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter writes, Tam l'kriyas maisa hager v'yishmal b'Rosh Hashanah. Again, unbelievable Hashkacha Pratis. We just had it this past Shabbos. Parshas Vayera, Perachaf Aleph, we learn about Hagar and Yishmal. And the moment that Sarah sends them out of the house, and it looks like they're not going to survive, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Rachmanis decides to save Yishmal. Why do we read that in Rosh Hashanah? So let's look inside. Similar to what we've been describing above, Yesh gam levar tam hadavar shetiknu chazal likro b'torah b'yom Rosh Hashanah maisa d'hagar v'yishmal. It's so interesting. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are sort of working, you know, in tandem. The first day of Rosh Hashanah we're reading Bereishis Perachav Aleph. The second day of Rosh Hashanah we're reading Bereishis Perachav Beis. The first day we're reading about Hagar and Yishmal. And the second day we're reading about Akedas Yitzchak. No, what's the pshat? Why is that Rosh Hashanah? How is that Rosh Hashanah? Dilechora ma shayich sipur zeh lekedushas hayom. What's the shayichus of Hagar and Yishmal to the kedushas hayom on this awesome and lofty day of Rosh Hashanah? Be'eshi Yisrael toilim einayim la'avim shemashamayim. She'etu zakai bedinam. We're davening to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless us. Give us a good year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us an opportunity to, you know, to survive. What does it have to do with Hagar and Yishmal? What does it do with anything? No, so Chava, you could probably figure it out based on what we just said, but let's see. So he explains, Eli Yesh Lomar, Sheyesh Bezeg Gamkein Eza Remez Klape Mala. We're reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah itself. We're teaching and reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu the difference between what? Between us and them. Sheinei Nemar B'Yishmal. What does it say by Yishmal? Why does Yishmal survive? What's the magic words that saved Yishmal? Yishmal Elokim es kol hanar. No, what are the next three words? Basher usham. Why does Yishmal survive? Hashem hears the cry of the nar. Basher usham. No, that's Chazar Rashi from this past week's parsha. Mamish halacha lemaisa, especially what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. What does Rashi say? Hashem says, I hear the cry of the child. Basher usham. In other words, Yishmal is going to live. What do the angels have to say about that? Rashi says, "Lefi ha'maisim shu osa achshav hu nidon." Yishmal will be judged as he is right now. Right now, Yishmal is causing some trouble in Sarah and Avram's home, but right now, Lamaisa, he's a sickly individual, right? Physically sick. Rashi says Sarah put an ayin har on him. He's burning up with fever. His mother puts him down under a tree. She's crying. He's crying. And Hashem says, no, it's not so bad. Is he so bad? It's not so bad. Hashem says, I hear the cry of the child, Basher Usham, where he's holding right now. He's judged as he is right now. V'lo lefi mashu osid lasos. But obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not considering what Yishmael is going to do in the future, says Rashi. Now, why is it mentioning that? Because the angels in Shemayim were leveling accusations against Yishmael and complaining to Hashem, how could you save Yishmael? Yishmael, the one who is Misha Osid Zara, Lahamis Banecha Bitsama, the one who in the future are going to cause your children to die of thirst and refuse to help us. Now you're going to what? You're going to save him by showing his mother a beautiful spring of fresh water? Let him die of thirst. Let him die of thirst. And Hashem said back to the angels, Achshav Mahu, Tzadik or Rasha? Hashem says back to the angels, Nu, angels, what's his status right now? Is he a Tzadik or is he a Rasha? Again, Tzadik has to be understood in this context as what? As relative tzaddik. Right now, is he so bad that he deserves to die? What do the angels say? Amrulo, tzaddik. Yishmael right now deserves to live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar lehem, lefi maisav shal achshav anidanu. I am going to judge him as he is right now. Basher Husham. That's what Basher Husham means. I'll judge him as he is right now. Yeah? I'll judge him as he is right now. And Yishmael survives because of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to spare Yishmael because of that. Okay? So why are we reading this on Rosh Hashanah? Why are we reading this in Rosh Hashanah? How does Yishmael prove his worthiness in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Again, this is day one of Rosh Hashanah. And again, understand it in the context of the second day is Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah when we read a Kedas Yitzchak. Here's how I presented it this past year on Rosh Hashanah. For the world to justify its place, for the Ummah Sa'olam, again, Rosh Hashanah is let's take a step back. Rosh Hashanah is not a Jewish holiday, right? I think we mentioned that. Rosh Hashanah is a universal holiday. The whole world is passing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's explicit in the Mishnah. The whole world is coming before Hashem to be judged. Hashem is judging every human being. But the way I said it this year on Rosh Hashanah, we were davening in a, because there's not enough space in the shul, they built a tent in the backyard every year, so I was in that minyan in the backyard. And literally, you could hear, since we're in a tent, you could hear cars driving by on the street, you know, just like right outside of our tent. Right? So I said, we're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're here, sitting here davening all day. We're doing Rosh Hashanah. And the guy driving by, you know, listening to Z100 with his windows open on the way to the mall, he's also in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. What kind of Rosh Hashanah is that? That's Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't even know. He's not even paying attention to Rosh Hashanah. And yet, you know, that guy may get a bizoicha bedin. He survives. How does he survive? And what merit does he survive? How does Hashem judge him? What does Hashem expect of him? You know what Hashem expects from him? This Rashi. Basher Husham. Right now, is he a tzaddik or Rasha? Is he the worst guy in the world? Not the worst guy in the world. He's also not spending the day crowning the Borei Olam through Tekiat Shofar and davening 1,000 pages of a machzer. Right? But right now, is he so bad? Is he so evil? Right? He's shooting rockets at Eretz Yisrael. Yishmael right now is a kid who's dying from a fever that won't break because he's out of water. So Hashem says to the angels, right now, is he so bad? He's not so bad. Okay, so he deserves to live. Contrast that with the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Contrast that with the Kriyas HaTorah of day two of Akedas Yitzchak. What's Akedas Yitzchak? The mamash polar opposites. Basher Husham means as long as you're good enough and you can just barely get by, Hashem says that's fine. For the Ummah Sa'olam, that's fine. What does Hashem ask of us? Mamish arasof. Mesiras nafesh arasof. The ultimate sacrifice. For them, it's enough to just be not bad. To not be terrible. Basher Husham, as long as you're not so bad, Hashem says that's good enough. For Klal Yisrael, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from us? I want mamish everything. I want the ultimate sacrifice. I want a Kedas Yitzchak. I want you to give away everything for me. Right? And I think part of the idea of reading those two prokim of the Chumash, Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, on the first and second day of Rosh Hashanah, is to dafka say before the Borei Olam, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lecho ben Yisrael la'amim. Look how different we are. We're all in Rosh Hashanah right now. The whole world is in Rosh Hashanah. But who's being Mamdach HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world? Who's making sacrifices for you, Hashem? Who's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to send their kids to Jewish schools instead of taking advantage of a free, you know, public school education? Who's spending all this money on kosher food? Who's not doing work on Shabbos? Etc., 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 etc. Who's getting up early in the morning when they're tired to go to Minyan and put on tefillin? Right? Who's sitting on the train after a long day of work and instead of just putting on a show from Netflix to just space out and to relax a little, you're opening up your Daf Yomi to try to get through a crazy blot in the middle of Maseches Nida, which is where the Daf's holding that, you know? But Hashem looks down, and Hashem sees that distinction, and Hashem says, wow, Mika Amchi Yisrael, that's unbelievable. Look at Klal Yisrael. That's an unbelievable thing. It's that Mesiras Nefesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at and says, wow. So says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, it's Pashitas, it's exactly what he's saying here. Right, what is the shaykhis of Hagar and Yishmael to Rosh Hashanah? What do they have to do with anything? Eliyahu Lomari says in the middle paragraph, Sheyesh Bazet Gamkin Ezer Remez Klape Mala, we're hinting to a Kodesh Baruch Hu again that what? Vayishmalu Kimes Kolan Arba Sharusham Hashem, you hear the voice of Yishmal and you let him get by because he's not so bad. Hainu, Hashem Yisbach Richem al Yishmal. Hashem, you have Rachmanis on Yishmal. The Klausenberger Rebbe one year was screaming on Rosh Hashanah. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yishmal and Hagar, they cry out one time to you and you come to the rescue. And Mama Rachel's been crying for Klal Yisrael for thousands of years, and you still haven't come to our rescue. And Mama's speaking against Hashem. Klausenberger Rebbe was screaming. He was screaming, but before Tkiyah Shofar, he said, "How could it be that Hagar and Yishmael, they get you that, them? You have Rachmanis on, but your own children, and all the tears of Mama Rachel." He was comparing it to Rachel Imenu. I don't know why he was dafka going there, but and all the cries of Klal Yisrael throughout the generation that you can't have Rachmanis on. Albiria Kazu Shabazar Kodesh Nemra Love, about the one who it says in the Zohar, Vai Allahu Zimna Dis Yalid Yishmal Ba'alma. Hashem, you had Rachmanis on about the one who it says in the Zohar, and again we saw it with hundreds of rockets falling on innocent people, right, in Eretz, not falling on them, but being shot at them in Eretz Yisrael. Right, the Zohar says, Vaila, woe to the day that Yishmal was born. It's going to cause terror around the whole universe. No one's going to feel safe anywhere in the world. Not only Jews, the whole world is going to feel threatened by the violent Pera Adam, Yishmael. Right? So the Zohar says, it's Nebuch on the day that he was born. And yet Hashem, you came to his rescue. Va'ot Sham B'Zohar, and it says in the Zohar, Ein lecha galus kasha liYisrael kamo galus Yishmael. There's no exile as difficult as this final exile, which is a combination of both Edom and Yishmael. Like the Rashi I just read, it's from this Medrash. Ribbono Shel Olam, the angels say, the one who's going to cause your children to die of dehydration, that they won't provide them with something to drink, dying of thirst in the wilderness, and now you're going to save him when he's so thirsty? Mida kenegad mida, let him die. V'im kol zos nis oru alav rachmi shemayim lasos nisim v'neflos. And yet Hashem, you came to the rescue of Yishmael. V'zos mishum shemasra hagar es atzma lidei hashkachas Hashem yizbach. He says a pshat here from the Kedushas Levi, which again, it's a limud, only the Berditchever could be malam mitzchus on Hagar and Yishmael. But it's a powerful limud mitzchus. We often think that when Yishmael is placed under that tree, when his mother drops him off and leaves him to die, we think that's an expression of complete abandonment. And we're critical of Hagar. What kind of mother abandons her son in her dying moments? It's too hard for her to look. Sit with him. Hold him in your arms. Let him die in your arms. What do you mean? She abandons him. And Rashi says, on the words, Vatelach Vatesa, she's wandering in the wilderness. She went back to Avodah Zarah. Right? She gave up hope in any of the beliefs that she acquired in Avram's home. The Berditchever actually says that when she puts down her son, the Berditchever is Malamei Tzchus and says the Kedushas Levi, she was turning him over to Hashem. It was actually a very humbling moment where Yishmael is handed back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, by Hagar. And Hagar says, Hashem, it's in your hands now. It was a recognition of Hashem. That's what the Kedushas Levi is saying. When the Pasuk says, V'tashleich ha-seyelet tachas achar hasichim, that she placed her child under one of the bushes, that she gave up trying to save the day, and she handed him back to Hashem. Again, only the Berditchever could be malam yitzchus and Hagar and Yishmael. Most other svarim read this as a critique that she abandoned her son, that she abandoned hope. She didn't believe in Hashem. She was miyaish. She went into a place of yayush. The svarim even bring a remes. She placed her child beneath one of the sichim. Right? Siach means like a bush or a shrub, a tree. Right? What's the gematria of siach? 318. What tachas achar hasichim? What's below? What's one below siach? 317 is gematria yayish. Right? So she was miyayish, this farm son. She placed her son in a place of yayish. As opposed to Avram Avinu, who is always trying to transcend Yesh. Avram Avinu, who goes out and fights a battle, a complete uphill battle, the four kings and the five kings, And who does he take along with him? He takes along 318 men, because 318 is the ability to be above Yesh. Which Rashi says he actually took one person with him. His name was Eliezer. What does Eliezer mean? We find the beginning of Sefer Shemos, when Moshe names his son Eliezer. Eliezer's ability to what? To be saved when it looks hopeless. V'hatzileini micharev paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eliezer, my God saved me when Paro's sword was literally on my neck. But I wasn't miyayish, because Hashem can always save. So the Berditcher is actually learning that Hagar actually had tremendous belief in Hashem, and she handed her son over to Hashem. Usually we read it the other way. But the bottom line is, if Yishmael can be saved, al zem mevakshim anu b'rosh Hashanah, meyes avinu shebashamayim. Our tefillah to Hashem is, Hashem, how could it be you have Rachmanas on Yishmael, and you don't have Rachmanas on us? That's the simple tefillah that we offer on Rosh Hashanah by way of the Kriyas HaTorah. Im al eila richamta be'ez shemasru atzom elecha. If Hashem, if you provided for them when they turned to you, kavachomer shetirachim al amcha, well, the more so you should have Rachmanas on your beloved people. U'bnei chavivecha, b'nei avim yitzchak v'yakov, b'shah shetol eneinayim l'marom. So when we turn our eyes to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah, you're going to say no? You said yes to Hagar and Yishmael when they turn to you. We spend the whole day in shul and Rosh Hashanah, you're going to say no to us? Can't be. Okay? Last but not least, final paragraph. In marfasas ma'adura zu, hareini echad b'sefer HaKadosh Beis Yisrael. Someone pointed out to me a comment that we find in the writings of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, the fourth Ger Rebbe. Passed away in the 1970s. The Beis Yisrael, the son of the Imre Amos, the Beis Yisrael, the fourth Ger Rebbe, said, "V'gam zos limud zchus al b'nei Yisrael, af shalo hayaroi im kolzeh richem Hashem yisbarach alav." Right? He said, this idea that I just presented to you about why we read the story of Hagar and Yishmael and Rosh Hashanah, the Beis Yisrael says this idea, that it's a limud zchus on Klal Yisrael, that even if we are not worthy on a certain level, but on another level, Hashem, come on, compare us to the rest of the world. You have to see that we're doing pretty good. Compare it to the rest of the world. Okay, fine, so sometimes I don't make it to Minyan in the morning. But sometimes I do. Right? And a non-Jewish kid my age has never gotten to Minyan in the morning. So come on, Rav Shlomo, way ahead of the pack, you know? Right? Again, in my lowest moments, I'm still way ahead spiritually. Even in moments where I'm struggling in Inyanei Kedusha, but compared to the levels of Kedusha that a person on a secular college campus is striving for, come on, Hashem. I'm mamish kodesh kadashim. Okay, sometimes I learn well, sometimes I don't. But at least I'm interested in learning your Torah. People who go their whole life, they could care less about your Torah. So that's something. So all of these are limud zchus on Klal Yisrael. Kedi'isa mitalmidei hamagid mikoznets. Turn the page, last four lines for today. Kuf Yud Zayin. As is brought in the names of the students of the Koznets or Magid, Sha'amar be'ez kriyas ha'Torah b'Rosh Hashanah, that he used to say on during the kriyas ha'Torah, on Rosh Hashanah, when the pasuk was recited, V'gam es ben ha'ama v'chulu kizarachahu, that you're willing to save a child of Avraham, who's the worst of the worst, that Yishmael will save the ben ha'ama, the son of Hagar will be saved, right? Kizarachahu, because he's also a child. Okay, but he's the worst of the worst. So Rabbanu Shel about us. Amar HaMagid Zechusi Yegen Aleinu. So the Koznets or Magid used to say, Nu Rabbanu Shel Olam Un Intznisht Uperusha Dvarav Sheyos Lizchus Al Bnei Yisrael Sheyazur Alehem Hashem Yisbarach Yediisa Kavachomer Gvira Mibnei Hashifcha. What's going to be with us, Rabbanu Shel Olam? Save the Ben Ha'amav, Gam is Ben Ha'amav, also the son of the servant. You had Rachmanis upon because he also has a indirect sheikh is the world of Avram Avinu, even though he's not the future. Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazal. So nu, so what's with the Zerah Avram, the real Zerah Avram? What's with Banam Atam Elokeichem? So chaver, it's an important thing to be machazik ourselves. It's not just a tula. I think it's actually an important mindset to be machazik ourselves. When we feel sometimes that, you know, compared to the best Jews, I'm not doing so great. I look at my chavrus or my roommate, or I look at my Rebbe, or I look at a guy a few years older than me who's really growing and steiging and learning and getting it together, and I still feel like I'm still struggling with a lot of things. Right? But you can be mechazik yourself, not only as a tefillah Hashem, here's why you should still like me despite my lowliness, right? But it's a way to mechazik yourself. Remind yourself, afal pichin, I made a bracha this morning. Shalom asani goy. I've been created categorically different than the rest of the world. And the fact that I care about these things, that I'm even working on these things, I may be stumbling a lot. I may be messing up a ton. But the fact that I'm trying, that I know that it's something I should want to do, that it's even somewhere on the radar, that one day I want to be the type of person who can conquer this Yetzirah, I want to be the type of person who can go to Minyan, I want to be the type of person who learns Torah b'hasmada, I want to be the type of person who stops speaking so much Lashon Hara, the fact that that's even anywhere on your radar is already, wow, unbelievable. Again, it's not an excuse, it's not a way to say I'm relatively good enough and I can just kind of rest on my laurels. That's not the pshat here. But to be mechazik oneself and to turn it into a tefillah to Hashem, Hashem, you have to have rachmanis on me and help me, because at least I care, at least I'm trying. And to recognize in the deepest way that havdallah bein Yisrael lam. Okay, well, I'm with just a couple of comments or questions. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's actually even greater, because first of all, it shows how much the Kirchhoff matters.
Okay.
And then afterwards, the Bnei Shmal actually are doing like a Vedic Negative based off of what they should be doing from their ancestor getting water.
Right, you would think after getting the Rachmanis first.
So Hashem puts in a situation where they're able to do the right thing, but if they do the wrong thing, then they end up getting even more.
Yeah, you're saying good. You're saying a good point. Saying good. Okay, Chaver, we have about an hour in the base now. We'll be back here at 11 o'clock for...